Again, we're going to do a little bit different than our normal Tuesday night topic tonight, because of course tonight is Yom HaAtzma'ut, so this is the 61st anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel, and generally speaking, if we're lucky enough that a Tuesday night falls out on Yom HaAtzma'ut, we might as well dedicate the shiur to topics relating to Eretz Yisrael. So tonight's shiur, Be'ezras Hashem, is going to be dedicated to a topic relating to Eretz Yisrael. Next week also, probably going to do, for the next week or two, Lag BaOmer-related shiurim or Sira-related shiurim before we go back to our originally scheduled program of learning through different klalim relating to mitzvah. So tonight's shiur, as I mentioned, relating to Eretz Yisrael, is going to be on the topic that's an unusual topic. It's a topic of the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. It's an unusual topic because you've never heard of it before. Whoever makes a connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos, and the vast, vast majority of the Mar Makomos from tonight's shiur are taken from an essay written by Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Sefer La'or HaHalacha. Now, Zevin wrote Svarim that were a little bit different. He always had a very creative way about him, and he wrote Svarim that were on more interesting, intriguing topics. He didn't write the classical, Shalos HaTshuvas or Perish and Shas or Perish on Chumash or something like that. Always had a little more interesting twist. I've mentioned many times in the past Rav Zevin's Sefer Ishim Veshitos, which is an outstanding Sefer, and it was just such a brilliant idea. What he did is he took 15 Gedolim or so from the past couple of hundred years, and he tried to give you not a biography of them, a little bit of biography, but mostly an intellectual biography of them, and tried to take you through their Torah and their way of thinking and what they contributed to Torah. And it was a book that only Rav Zevin could have written, because he must have had something close to a photographic memory in terms of his ability to pull in so many different sources from so many different places. Either that, or he had incredibly good research skills. This book is also one of his more well-known svarim, and that's La'or HaHalacha, which is a collection of halachic essays on a variety of unique topics. He has an essay, for instance, on on the use of the Kuzari in Jewish thought and Jewish practice. Do we use the Kuzari much? And he has an essay, for instance, on snow in Halacha, which was not, this is before every weekly Torah publication by every yeshiva was printing out, weekly halachic topics. Rav Zevin always had these interesting topics. So he found a trend here that I never noticed in my life, and I'm sure many of you never noticed either. And the trend that he found is that there's a connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. Now, what's interesting about this essay that he wrote is in the 10-12 pages that he spends describing the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos, he never explains why they're connected. He proves that they're definitely connected. That in Tanakh, in Chazal, we very clearly see a connection. In Halacha, in Hashkafa, we see a connection. But he never really goes back to address the issue of why they're connected, what exactly the underlying theme is. But I think the reason he didn't do that is because it's obvious. Once you go through all the connections, I think we're then going to see that it's fairly obvious what the connection is. So first, you have no reason to believe me that they are connected, so let's go take a look at the sources and establish that they are in fact connected. First, on a hashkafic level. And what I mean by hashkafic level is in terms of schar v'onesh, that the two go hand in hand very often, that there are assumptions made by Chazal that as a result of being lax in one of these areas, we're going to lose the other one, we're going to lose the ability to perform the other one or to benefit from the other. As a result of excelling in one of these areas, we're going to benefit from the other one, that the two are very much connected to each other in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. And his first source is a Medrash Breishis Rabbah, which is a very straightforward source. Number one, Im Mekablum Banecha Es HaShabbos, Heim Nichnasim La'aretz. V'im Lav Einam Nichnasim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, listen, if your children are Mekabel Shabbos, then they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. If they're not Mekabel Shabbos, they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So it can't really be much more straightforward than that. You do Shabbos, you get Eretz Yisrael. You don't do Shabbos, you don't get Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, the Mechilta in Parshas Beshalach describes that before Klal Yisrael ever had a mitzvah of Shabbos, when in the Parsha of the Mun, when the Mun starts to fall, in Parshas Beshalach, which is the Parsha Saman, again, the Medrash makes this clear connection. Im Tizku Lishmar Es HaShabbos, Asra Kodesh Baruch Hu Laseis Lechem Shlosh Amados Pesach Vayetzaris Sukkos. And it goes on to say, Rabbi Lazar Madai Omer, Im Tizku Lishmar Shabbos, if you are Zoche to observe Shabbos, Asar Kodesh Baruch Hu Liten Lechem Shesh Midos Tovos, God is going to give you 6 Midos Tovos, and one of them is, first one is, Eretz Yisrael. And the others are Olam Haba, Olam Chadosh, Malchus Beis David, Kuhuna, Levia. We'll see how maybe some of those are connected as well, but very clearly a connection, again, between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Rav Zevin doesn't quote this source, but I just took a look today for a different reason. I was looking at the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and I figured I might as well look at the Akdama and see how he describes Shabbos and the value of Shabbos in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. You know, I always have a thing for Akdamos. I like to read Akdamos of different Sfarim. So it's not much of Akdama, it's only a page or so, but I got a marmakum for tonight's shir from it. And in the Akdama, in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he writes as follows, source 2 bays. I have to add it in later, that's why it's a little bays. Ra Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Od b'yemei shibun mitzrayim, sheyisrael yachlu lahachzik maimad ku'uma. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that with Klal Yisrael suffering in Mitzrayim, they were unable to really act like a nation and to maintain themselves as a nation. Elim kein koach elyon yitzar from yachad. They needed some type of inspiration to hold them together. So yichir osa mishchneim amitzrim v'inehu mevakish miparo shiten lahem yom menucha. So Moshe went and petitioned Paro that Klal Yisrael should have a Yom Menucha, that they should have a day of rest. Kadesh Shlo Yisbolu Bein HaMitzrim. And his motivation, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's motivation, was to keep them distinct, keep them separate from the Mitzrim, make them feel like they're a distinct entity, make them feel like they're still Jews. Now, we're so used to the Maimar Chazal that what made us distinct, it was Shloshinu HaShemam, Esloshonam, Esmal Busham, that we didn't change those three things. One of the most famous non-existent Midrashim in the world, that's Midrash that doesn't exist as far as we know, that highlights those three areas that Klal Yisrael never changed. So we're so used to thinking along those terms. Says this Midrash, no, there was something much more fundamental that kept them separate, and that was Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro and he petitioned that they should have off on Shabbos. And he quotes, Re'ei Shmos Rabba Aleph L'Pasuk V'Yar B'Sivol Sam, She'klape Paro Bikesh Shabbos Ketova L'Paro. Now, you're not going to be able to sell that to Paro. You can't go to Paro and say, I want the Jewish people to maintain their Jewish identity and therefore you should give them a day off. Paro's not going to buy into that. So how did he sell it to Paro? So he sold it to Paro by saying, look, it's the old Shemitah argument, that just like the land, if it's worked every single year and never gets a break, it gets sapped of all of its nutrients and it's not going to be able to produce what it otherwise could produce. Human beings are the same way. You're going to keep on working these people over and over again every single day, never a time to rest, never a time to breathe. Forget it, they're not going to be able to produce what you think they should be able to produce. They're going to lose productivity, and it's going to be on you. You're going to lose that productivity. It's going to hurt your economy. And that way, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to sell this day off to Paro. Sheyadu ki umam yuchad esem uma shahaya batikvas pakod yivkod el kim eschem uma shal pakod bakadati eschem. This is a nation that had hopes. It's a nation that had dreams. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to maintain those dreams, had to maintain those hopes. And the way he did that was by providing them with a Shabbos. So what do you see? Now this isn't a direct connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, but it's certainly a connection between Shabbos and Geula. The only way that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Klal Yisrael would have a way out of Galus was through Shabbos. So an out of Galus means to Eretz Yisrael, to Geula, which is Eretz Yisrael. So the only way Moshe Rabbeinu saw a way out of Galus was through the Shabbos. And in fact, there's obviously a much more famous Maimar Chazal that relates to how Eretz Yisrael, how Shabbos rather, gets us out of Galus, and that's the Gemara Misach Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Tes, or Daf Kuf Yud Ches rather. If you look in source number, I have it somewhere on the sheet here, in source number 9, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Il Moli Mishamin Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Kil Chasan. If Klal Yisrael would observe 2 Shabbosos properly, Miyad Negalim, right away, that would bring us to Geula. Shenemar Koamar Hashem, etc. And we have a Yishmar Shabbosai, Ksiv Basri Vaviyosim El Harkachi, that there's a direct connection between Im Yishmar Shabbosai and Vaviyosim El Harkachi, that when we observe Shabbos properly, that's going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. The most startling chiddush, though, the most startling point that Rav Zevin makes, he says, look at the pasuk that describes Shabbos. What does the pasuk say? Vayikra perchav gimel, sheshes yam tasa malacha, should do work for 6 days. Uvayomer, that's the old joke, and that they only read the second half of the pasuk in Lakewood, right? That sheish siyam tasim lacha. You're supposed to actually work for 6 days. A chiddush. Uvayomer shvi'i, and on the seventh day, Shabbos Shabbaso and Mikra Kodesh. It's supposed to be a day of Shabbos, Mikra Kodesh, wonderful. Kol melacha lo sasu, Shabbos hu la Hashem. And then what does the Torah add in? I already get it. Shabbos is a holy day. It's a special day for Hashem. What does the Torah add in? B'chol mosh v'seichem. What does b'chol mosh v'seichem mean? Wherever you happen to be, right? Wherever whatever dwelling places you're in. What's the chiddush of those last two words? B'chol mosh v'seichem. There's a rule. The Mishnah Kiddushin sets the rule. Any mitzvah atzliya ba'aretz, any mitzvah that relates to karka, that relates to the ground, is noheg only in Eretz Yisrael, not in chutz la'aretz. Mitzvahs that are tali in the guf, that are not tali ba'aretz, that have nothing to do with karka, but that have to do with my physical performance. Tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, any of these mitzvahs, matzah, all of those mitzvahs have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, and they're noheg bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. Shabbos, l'chora, is a davar pasha, that it's noheg, both ba'aretz and b'chutz la'aretz. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me, by the way, you should keep Shabbos b'chol mosh v'seichem? So the Gemara in Kiddushin is bothered by this question. The truth is, the Gemara in Kiddushin answers this in a way that says that I might have thought that since it's listed together with the Moados, together with the Yom Tovim, that it should be subject to our determination of when Shabbos should fall, like the Moadim are. Right? How are the Moadim subject to our determination? Because we're Kaveh when Rosh Chodesh is. So I might have thought the same thing about Shabbos. That's why it says B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, to tell me that it's different than all of the other Moadim. Right? That's what the Gemara says. However, if you look at the Ibn Ezra, in source number 4, it says the Ibn Ezra, B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, Ba'artzachem, V'chutz Me'artzachem. What's the chiddush of B'chol Mosh V'Seichem? That Shabbos is not only in Eretz Yisrael, you got to keep Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz too. That's the big chiddush. Big chiddush, you have to keep Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz too. So Ibn Ezra, okay, he's into Parshanos, he's into Pasha Peshad Mikra, but that's not really what the Chumash meant. So look in the Medrash, Psikta Zutrosa, in source number 5, B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. Also understands, B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, Pshat is that you might have thought Shabbos only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And you need the Pasuk to tell me that it applies in Chutz La'aretz also. Why would I have thought that? Why would I connect Shabbos to Eretz Yisrael so strongly that I would think Shabbos only applies in Eretz Yisrael? A very strange Hava Amina that the Torah has to add in two words to tell me it's not so. So obviously of all of his rayos that there's a connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, at least on the Hashkafic level, this one seems to be one of the stronger ones, right? To show that there's a connection. Now, the Rashi in Megillas Eicha also has something very interesting. Rashi writes, well, first things first, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tav Kuf Yates, in source number 7, Amar Abaye, Lo Chorvu Yushlayim El Beshvil Shechilu Basa Shabbos. Right, we often think of the Chorbanos, in different Ma'amari Chazal about Sinas Chinam, about Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shefas Damim, of the Chorbanos of the Batei Mikdash, says the Gemara in Shabbos, according to Abaye, Yerushalayim was destroyed because we were Mechal Shabbos. Shenemar, Umi Shabsosai Ha'elimu Einehem Va'achal Besocham. Pasuk says, when you hid your eyes away from Shabbos, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in and destroyed Yerushalayim. That's when we lost Yerushalayim. Again, very significant connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. So now we've seen that if we want to be Zocha to Eretz Yisrael, we have to keep Shabbos. Once we have Eretz Yisrael, if we want to keep it, we have to keep Shabbos. And when we're Mechal Shabbos, that's what causes us to lose Eretz Yisrael. So and not only that, we've also seen that if Klal Yisrael could keep two Shabbosos, that we're going to be able to be Zocha to go back to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be Zocha Miyad Negalin, immediately. It won't even wait. It'll happen right away that we'll experience a Geula. And one last source to establish this connection is Rashi in Eicha. Rashi in Eicha says as follows, Medrash Agada Darsha B'Lashon Acher, source number 8, Shayushovsin B'Golah B'Shabbosos Yom Tovim. Klal Yisrael in Golos starts observing Shabbos in Yantif, Vishomtim b'shviyos, and observing Shemitos as well. Now, it's unusual to observe Shemitah in Galus, but Shabbos and Yom Tov you would expect to observe in Galus. But says Rashi, Vayu umos misachkim aleihem. The nations of the world would laugh at us. Va'omrim, and they would say, Shotim, you morons, you fools. Ba'artzachem lo shemartem. You didn't observe this in your land. Va'achshav b'gola tishmru. And now you're in Galus, you're going to observe it? Now, Shemitah, I understand what they're mocking. The whole point of Shemitah is to be kept in Eretz Yisrael. So they're going to mock us. They're going to say, you fools, you didn't observe Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. Now you come out here in Chutz Lars, you're going to observe Shemitah. It's ridiculous. But Shabbos also apparently is the subject of mockery. How could you not observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael and yes, observe Shabbos in Chutz Lars? It doesn't make any sense. Shabbos is made for Eretz Yisrael, is what it sounds like. The real Shabbos is in Eretz Yisrael. So what are you doing by observing Shabbos in Chutz Lars when you didn't observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? So that very firmly establishes, I think, I was convinced at that point in the essay already, that this isn't just a coincidence of different sources, that he happens to be this great Bucky, so he managed to pull together all these sources. There seems to be a trend over here. There seems to be a very clear connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. And that's on a hashkafic level. But then on a halachic level as well, we also find a very clear connection. I'm not going to discuss this topic at length because it would be a couple of separate shiurim to really discuss it, but in the discussions of where the international dateline is, I think my father-in-law once spoke about it in shul, and we were all thoroughly confused, so we'll just leave it as knowing that there has to be an international dateline somewhere, because well, we don't have to explain it. The Earth is round, and therefore, if you were to have two people travel, one this way, the other that way around the globe, and they were to meet in a certain place, and they would just keep counting the days from where they started from, they would end up with thinking it's two different days. One of them would think it's Tuesday, the other one would think it's Wednesday. At some point, you have to draw a line and say, this side of the line is Tuesday, that side of the line is Wednesday, and you have to have an international dateline. But finding a source in Tanakh for an international dateline, or in Shas for an international dateline, is very, very difficult, nearly impossible. So the Baal Amor famously discussed it, and the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav had a well-known machlokas about this. I remember when I was at one of my Rebbeim's house in Eretz Yisrael, by Rav Silver's house on, I forgot what Yom Tov was, it must have been like Chanukah or something, or no, maybe it was just a Shabbos. I was there for a Shabbos meal, I was in Yerushalayim for a Shabbos, and he started talking Torah, and he was talking in Halacha, and he said something about the dateline, and his wife was getting something ready in the kitchen, and she screams out from the kitchen, "You're not going to tell them the Brisker Rav Shita?" So that's how I always remember the Brisker Rav had a famous sheet about the international dateline. Mrs. Silver taught me. So anyway, the point is there has to be some line, and it can't just be arbitrary, it seems. There's got to be some line that we draw. And I put a couple of basic sources from the Radvaz and the Kuzari on the Marmakamos, but I really would prefer not to go through them now. And essentially what comes out is that where most draw the dateline, it has something to do with Eretz Yisrael. It has something to do with viewing Eretz Yisrael as the center of the world, and then going 90 degrees in each direction from Eretz Yisrael, or something of that nature. It always has something to do with the fact that Eretz Yisrael is considered the Merkaz, it's always considered the central point of the Earth. Right, the Earth is a globe, so you could hold it any way. It happens to be in all the models, they hold it a certain way, but we hold it with Eretz Yisrael on the top. Right, we hold it with Eretz Yisrael being the central point. That's how Chazal understood the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. So what does this have to do with Shabbos? Because while we often think of Shabbos as something that's kavua v'kaima and doesn't involve any figuring out, right, as opposed to the Yom Tovim, which do involve figuring out, in this one area of halacha where you have to figure out when Shabbos is, because it's not kavua v'kaima, it's something that you have to actually do some cheshbon to find out when Shabbos is, how do we determine when Shabbos is? We use Eretz Yisrael as a starting point. So in determining, why should, if Shabbos is just as nogeya in New York and Los Angeles as it is in Eretz Yisrael, why would we use Eretz Yisrael as a starting point in terms of determining when Shabbos is? If it has nothing to do with being more nogeya in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else, it doesn't make sense to use Eretz Yisrael as a starting point. The fact that we use Eretz Yisrael as a starting point and then figure out how many degrees to go in each direction, but use Eretz Yisrael as the central location from which to start the cheshbon, that implies that, again, there's some sort of halachic connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. Furthermore, if you look in the Yerushalmi, which is in source number 12, says Yerushalmi, "Ein makifin al ir shel gayim pachos mishloshi yamim kodem l'Shabbos." You're not supposed to go and surround a non-Jewish city within 3 days of Shabbos. Hadad detemar b'milchemes harashus. But that's only in the Milchemes HaRoshos. Right? There are a lot of things you're not supposed to do right before Shabbos because we're afraid you're going to get caught up and if you're traveling, you can get stuck somewhere, you can end up having to be Michal Shabbos. So there are a lot of things. Whenever people call and ask questions about, can I plan to travel on Friday afternoon, it's always makes me nervous. Don't, even with modern travel and everything, it's modern ways of travel, and there are modern ways of getting delayed also. So it's always a very scary thing to travel right before Shabbos. So there's certain things you're not supposed to do right before Shabbos. The Gemara talks about being going on a Svina within a couple of days of Shabbos. Certain things you're not supposed to do right before Shabbos. So it says the Yerushalmi, you're not supposed to start a war right before Shabbos. And the Gemara says, but that's only by a Melchemes Roshus. Avbul Melchemes Chova, when you have a Melchama V'chova that you're obligated to fight, then afil b'Shabbos, then even on Shabbos you're allowed to go. Shekein Matzinu, because where do we find that the Jewish people started a war on Shabbos? Shalom Nichbasha Yericho El B'Shabbos. When did we conquer Yericho? Yericho was conquered on Shabbos, right? The Navi tells us in Yeshua that we had to walk around the walls of the city for 6 days, one time each, and then on the seventh day we walked around seven times in Chazal Dashim, because it says that it was on the seventh day, we dashim that that seventh day was Shabbos. And that's probably why David Bashefkin was talking about over Yantif, what Achan's Avera was in taking from the spoils of Yericho, right? Well, why was it that in that war, Dafka, in that battle, we weren't allowed to take from the spoils? All the spoils had to go to the Mishkan for that battle. What about every other battle? We didn't have to do that. That wasn't a requirement of battle in the Jewish people. When Yeshua was leading us from town to town, conquering Eretz Yisrael, not as much as he should have, perhaps, but conquering as much of Eretz Yisrael as we did in the time, we never had that requirement. Why Dafka in the Battle of Yericho? So Pashtus is because the Battle of Yericho was on Shabbos. And the spoils of a Yom Kadosh go to Kedusha, and therefore they go to the Mishkan. Right? It's not supposed to be kept by the individual. It's not supposed to be kept in Chulin. This is the result of Kedusha. So therefore it has to go to the Mishkan. So you see from there that Kibush is allowed to happen on Shabbos. Kibush Eretz Yisrael is allowed to happen on Shabbos. And that's what the Rambam writes. Sarin al Yoros Hagoyim Shosh Yom Kodim Shabbos Vosniman Milchama B'chol Yom V'yom Afilu B'Shabbos Ad Shekov Shnosa Valf Pishim Milchamas Roshos. And then he says, Vein Sarach Lomra Milchamas Mitzvah V'lo Kovish Yericho Ela B'Shabbos. That for sure Milchamas Mitzvah you're allowed to fight on Shabbos. Yericho itself was conquered on Shabbos. Not only that, not only do we find conquering on Shabbos, but we find even further. The Gemara in Gittin has an unbelievable chiddush. The Gemara in Gittin says that if you have a real estate opportunity that comes up in Eretz Yisrael, you have a guy selling land in Eretz Yisrael, and the eBay auction closes on Shabbos, right? So you have to be in on Shabbos to be able to buy that land in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, you could buy land in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really? You're allowed to write a shtar on the land in Eretz Yisrael? It's Malacha Daraisa of writing a shtar? So the Gemara says, no, do Amir La'akum, ask a guy to write a shtar for you. You could have a guy sitting there at the computer doing your work for you to make sure that you win the eBay auction on the land in Eretz Yisrael that you want to buy on Shabbos. Aye, but Amir La'akum is also Aser. It's Nismid Rabbanan. It's a Shvus, right? So how can you be allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, but for Eretz Yisrael we'll make it. For Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So again, Shabbos, apparently, without Eretz Yisrael, is lacking something, and therefore willing to sacrifice a little bit of Shabbos to get back to Eretz Yisrael, so that we can have Shabbos again. So that we can have Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos as the tag team that they're supposed to be. So again, another critical connection in Halacha this time, between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. In fact, Yerushalmi adds another step. The Yerushalmi says not only are you allowed to buy the land in Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos, but the Yerushalmi says that's part of the mitzvah of Kibush Ha'aretz. It's part of the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael, is buying the land in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Zevin points out that Yerushalmi is a Gevaldika Raya for the Ramban. We know the Rambam very famously in his Sefer HaMitzvos does not count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And everyone scratches their heads and tries to figure out why in the world the Rambam would leave out such an important mitzvah. So some say, that's exactly why. It's too important. It's not a mitzvah, it's every mitzvah. It's too encompassing. It encompasses so many other mitzvahs that it doesn't get counted as a separate mitzvah. But for whatever reason, the Rambam didn't count it. The Satmar Rebbe had his own thoughts of why the Rambam didn't count it. But for whatever reason, the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, we know at the end of the Sefer Mitzvahs, gives a whole list of the mitzvahs that the Rambam, so to speak, forgot. That the Rambam forgot to count. So the Ramban says, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam forgot to count. The mitzvah of Kibush Ha'aretz and V'yashavtem Ba'an, to dwell in the land, is a mitzvah. And when we buy houses in Eretz Yisrael and we go and we live in them and we settle the land, that's part of the mitzvah of Kibush. We're not fighting Melchama over eBay, we're just buying land. We're just going and buying real estate. It's not a Melchama, Nevertheless, that's part of the mitzvah of kibush. And this Yerushalmi seems to fit in very nicely with that. Satmar Rebbe, incidentally, has a lot of very interesting Torah in his that Sefer for Yol Moshe that we read the Akdama to a while back. He has three parts of that Sefer. The middle section of the Sefer is dedicated to discussing the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and whether or not it applies nowadays. So whereas everyone else assumes that the Ramban is a Davar Pashut, that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael nowadays, the Rambam is perplexing because he doesn't count it and he sort of remains silent on the issue, in certain places at least. So some are perplexing. Some Rebbe sort of does it in the other direction. He says the Rambam is a Davar Pashut, that there's no mitzvah. And he thinks it could be a Medayik in the Rambans and show how even according to the Ramban, it's not necessarily a mitzvah. But he has to be very creative in order to do that. Generally speaking, the Ramban is pretty beferish, right? That there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that mitzvah is done, that mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael is done by settling the land, again, of Eretz Yisrael. But again, this is the connection, we see again this connection, this strong connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. Another halacha connection, we know that our weekday Shemoneh Esrei is much longer than our Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. Why? Because our weekday Shemoneh Esrei is full of bakashas. We ask for this thing, for that thing, for the next thing. We're always asking for one thing after another. And on Shabbos, we keep all bakashos out of our davening. We take all the bakashos, and we remove them from our davening. So Rav Zevin just points out, very pashut, he says, we don't really take everything totally out of the davening. If you look in source number 19, he says, Naskir la'achrona kesher bein Shabbos la'aretz, bitfilo bebrachos bitfilos musuf, yiro tzom lefenecha, shetaleinu besimcha li'artzeinu, v'sita'enu b'gvuleinu. Here we are davening on Shabbos, asking the Ribbono Shel Olam of Bakasha, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Let us be in Eretz Yisrael again. Yeah, during the weekday there is a special bracha for this in the Shemoneh Esrei, t'kabashov v'gadol v'kabtseinu yachad, aval kol bakasha shem Shemoneh Esrei ein omer b'Shabbos. We take all bakashas out of the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. V'zeh kein maskirim b'musuf. But this we mention, and not only that, in the Birch Saf Torah we also mention it. Rachim al Tzion ki yiveis chayenu v'aluvus nevesh toshia v'tismach b'mehera v'yameinu baruch atah Hashem v'sameach Tzion b'vaneha. Again, mention of Tzion, mention of Eretz Yisrael, mention of Yerushalayim. And not just mentioning it, asking b'peh mole, Ribbono Shel Olam, we have a bakasha. We want Eretz Yisrael back. We want Yerushalayim back. That makes it into our tefillos and Shabbos. When all other bakashas are thrown out, that one stays in. Going to give Tzion simcha by bringing all of its children back in simcha. And Rav Zevin finishes his piece, and we should be zocha to actually see that. But again, this strong connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, the only bakasha we're allowed to keep on Shabbos is the bakasha about Eretz Yisrael. And finally, the final connection on the halachic level is the fact that Rashi, Mesach Schul and Daf Hei, writes that someone who's a mumar l'chal Shabbos, someone who's a known l'chal, right, how do we ask if someone's a from Jew? What do we say? Is he a Shomer Shabbos? And we don't ask, is he a Shomer Kashrus? We don't ask if he's a Shomer Taras HaMashpacha, if he's a Shomer Mezuzah, Tfilin, Tzitzis, anything. What do we ask? Is he a Shomer Shabbos? Shmira is not really shy of a mitzvah saseh, right? Shomer Shabbos is for the low saseh. Right, but anyway, he shomer pen al. Those are all the shonos of los hasei. So you wouldn't say shomer tefillin. But you get the point. We don't say we don't ask whether he shomer any of the other los haseis, right? Is he shomer ginanosha? We don't ask things like that. We shomer Shabbos. Why? So says Rashi. Someone who's a mechal Shabbos preferes, yeah? Someone who's not a shomer Shabbos has a din of an oved kachavim. Has a din of an oved avodah zarah regarding certain halachos. So he's considered as if he's kofer b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Mechal Shabbos is kofer b'maisav. It's considered that he's kofer in the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of creating the world. Umeid sheker shel Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu maisav breishis. And it's as if he's issuing false testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create maisav breishis. So good. So someone who's a mechal Shabbos is considered like that. And someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael, shockingly, the Gemara in Ksubas talks about in Daf Kuf Yud that someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael is also Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah. The person who leaves Eretz Yisrael is also Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah. So apparently the two are again strongly linked. That violation or failure to appreciate these two great mitzvos of Eretz, of the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and the Kedushas HaShabbos leaves a person with the status of an Oved Avodah Zarah. So again, very, very strong connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. And this is a serious halachic issue, by the way, about leaving Eretz Yisrael. It's not so pashut. People think, yeah, you just go, you leave. First of all, for Kohanim, it's a really interesting topic, because it's an interesting topic to discuss why Kohanim are allowed to live in Chutz Laretz. There are Gemaras that seem otherwise, but the minhag, obviously, over many generations has been that Kohanim do live in Chutz Laretz. But it's always a very serious shaila to leave Eretz Yisrael. You're not just allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael on a whim, meaning if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, you got to stay there. That's... we should all have to move there also. Shech always points out that Rav Moshe has that tshuva where he discusses the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Moshe has this amazing chiddush, but we don't think of it as a chiddush because we grew up with it and it's sort of internalized by us, but really it's an amazing chiddush. Rav Moshe says that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't say like the Satmar Rebbe, is not a mitzvah at all nowadays, right? But he says the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, nor does he say that that everyone has to do it. He says it's a mitzvah kiyumis, that there are certain mitzvahs that you have to do, and certain mitzvahs that if you do, you get credit for, and if you don't do, you don't get credit for it. But you don't get faulted for it either. So he holds the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis. Now the fact that there exists such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis is a chiddush. The fact that such an animal exists is a chiddush, because normally mitzvah means that you're mitzvah, that you're commanded, that you have to do something. The very fact that such a category exists is somewhat of a chiddush. The Gra has the idea of a mitzvah kiyumis when it comes to matzah on the other days of Pesach after the first night. Right, after the Seder night, we know we have a chiyuv of matzah, so what about the rest of the days of Pesach? Is there any value in eating matzah the rest of the days of Pesach? So the Gra is this chiddush that is a mitzvah kiyumis. But Rav Moshe has a chiddush that the same is true about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that yes, it's a mitzvah, but it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. Pashat pshat, had you not had Rav Moshe to be mechadish that for us, we would naturally assume that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis like every other mitzvah in the Torah. They were absolutely obligated to go to Eretz Yisrael. Someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael, like Gemara Ksubas, has very, very strong things to say about someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael. And this is non-political. I'm not talking about Israeli government, and not just pure, just being the Kedushas Haaretz, experiencing the Kedushas Haaretz. As Rav Zevin points out, all the discussions about whether Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel L'Shaita, Kitchel L'Yaslavo, is the initial Kedusha that they were Mekadesh Haaretz Yisrael with the Binyan Abayis, is that still there, or did the Kedusha, or the Kibush Haaretz rather, is that still there, did the Kedusha leave after the Churban? All those discussions are about certain halachos. But the actual Etzem HaKadusha, Rav Zevin points out, that there's no doubt it's still there. It's in regards to, do we treat it with all the halachos of Kedusha? That's the discussion in the Rishonim. But there's no discussion about whether it's actually Kadosh. The fact that it's actually Kadosh, that's a Davar Pashut. It has its actual Kedusha. So now we have all of these connections, which again are not a coincidence, and we're fairly thoroughly convinced at this point, are not a coincidence between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. Now, Rav Zevin then points to, he doesn't go exactly in the order that I went, but he then points to various themes, thematic connections that we find between them. And that is, for instance, and we'll try to go through these quickly because time is running out already, that Shabbos, interestingly, and this is something I wouldn't have noticed necessarily, is the only day that's described as Kodesh. What do you mean? We say about all the Yom Tovim, Mikra Kodesh. He says, yeah, Mikra Kodesh. They're all Mikra Kodesh. Shabbos is the only one that Chumash says, Kodesh He. It's Kodesh. It's not Mikra Kodesh. It is Kodesh. It's the very definition of Kedusha. And the Mishnah Maseches Kehilim, when it discusses the various levels of Kedusha in the world, the various levels of Kedusha Samakom in the world, says Eretz Yisrael is Mekudosh Mikol HaRatzos. Eretz Yisrael is also described as Kadosh. Okay, so clearly they have that thematic connection of Kedusha. They also have another thematic connection, and that is Malchus. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Amud Beis, and elsewhere tells us that one of the Amoraim would get up at Kabbalah Shabbos to go greet the Shabbos Malchusa. Bova Nikra Shabbos Malchusa, meaning Shabbos, the royal Shabbos. So Shabbos apparently is associated with Malchus. And by the way, that's the source for standing by Kiddush. That if you're going to assume that when you make, at least on Friday night, Shabbos day, I don't think there is a source. But on Friday night, the reason that people stand for Kiddush on Friday night is a kiyum of that Gemara, right? Is to go out and greet the Shabbos. That Gemara, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the, I forget which volume, but in one of the volumes of Igros Moshe, family's trying to print a ninth volume, by the way. That's the great chesed to Klal Yisrael, trying to raise money in this market also to print the ninth volume. But okay, but anyway, they said they would put all the tshuvas online, so you can in the Ksav Yad, so you can read them in case you have any sfeikas about whether he actually wrote them or not. But in one of his tshuvas, he discusses whether you should sit or stand for Kiddush. So he says, you know what, on the real mitzvah of Kiddush, you're supposed to have Kiddush Makom Suda. So Kiddush Makom Suda means you're supposed to sit, because you're Suda sitting. But on Friday night, there's such an idea that you want to get up to go greet the Shabbos. So you stand up to go greet the Shabbos as a kiyum of that Gemara to greet Shabbos Malchusa. So you stand up for the Melech or the Malka, you stand up for Shabbos because Shabbos is royalty. Rav Moshe points out that L'chor you could be Mekayim that with the first half of Kiddush, then sit for the Bar Priya Gafen so you can get your Kiddush Makom Suda. So I think the tshuva is to Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler asked him what he should do, and he said you should stand for the first half of Friday night, sit for the second half, and even if it's your father's minhag otherwise, you should change the minhag. You should do it like that, because that's the most appropriate way to make Kiddush. And he says Shabbos day, of course you should sit. And he said Yantif, there's no Yantif Malchusa. It's Tafka Shabbos Malchusa. There's no such thing as going, there's no Kabbalah Yantif, there's a Kabbalah Shabbos. You go to greet the Shabbos. So Yantif, he said he thinks the minhag developed, that people, if I remember the tshuva correctly, the minhag developed that people stand up for Kiddush on Yantif night, because they do on Shabbos night, and they're not mechalek. So they just got confused. But really, on Yantif night, he doesn't think there's any reason that a person should stand for Kiddush. Okay, but that's obviously a little bit off topic. But Shabbos is called Melech, and when we go into Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf tells us we have three mitzvos as soon as we enter into Eretz Yisrael. What are the three mitzvos? Number one, Lahamid Lahem Melech. The very first mitzvah when we go into Eretz Yisrael is to establish a Melech. So the Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael is directly connected to Malchus. Shabbos is directly connected to Malchus. Again, a theme of Malchus. What's number two and three, by the way? So the Mishnah says number two is Lahachru Zaro Shal Amalek, and number three is Livnos Lehem Beis HaBechira. Right, number two is destroying Amalek, and number three is to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Shechter has in his Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon, in his second major Sefer, he writes, he has a piece called Begidrei Medinas Yisrael Melchamoseha. Very beautiful piece about the significance of Medinas Yisrael from a halachic perspective. And he tries to explain, you know, a lot of people take exception to the phrase Reishis Tzmichas Gulaseinu. And even those who are okay with saying a tefillah for Medinas Yisrael, they're okay with the idea that having a Jewish government in Israel, as much as we have to complain about in terms of who is in the government and how the government is run and the corruption and everything else, but even those who acknowledge that having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael is so much better than not having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and is something worth praying for, and certainly worth praying that that the government officials should have the wisdom to lead properly. But many have a problem with including that phrase in the prayer. Now, some have a problem with just having the entire prayer, just introducing a new prayer. Rav Shechter doesn't even like the idea of, I think he said Rav Salvechik didn't like the idea of just saying the tefillah from the Medina, because he didn't like the idea of new prayers, but just putting new prayers in the tefillah. But some take exception to, how can you declare this is Reishis Tzmichas Gulaseinu? Reishis Tzmichas Gulaseinu means, this is the first step of Geula. Isn't that up to God, what the first step of Geula is? How can we have the audacity to claim that this is the first step of Geula? So Rav Shechter says it's really not that difficult. It's really not that much of a problem. He says, what's the definition of Geula? Definition of Geula is, the Ramban writes in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, which is called the Sefer HaGeula. So the Ramban writes, the definition of Geula is what happens at the end of Sefer Shmos. What happens at the end of Sefer Shmos? We have a Mikdash, we have a Mishkan. That's the definition of Geula. So he says, whatever the process is that ends in Geula, when that process starts, he thinks it's fair to call that the Reishis Tzmichas Gulaseinu. What's the process when Jews go back to Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah Sanhedrin says very clearly, number one, Lahamid Lamelech. Number two, Lach V'Zar Shalom Alek. And number three, Livnos Lehem Beis HaBechira. So that's the process that ends with the Beis HaMikdash, that ends with Geula. So what's the beginning of that process? The beginning of that process is Lahamid Lamelech, establishing a Jewish government. So Rav Shechter says it's Lav Dafka a Melech in the classical sense. a Jewish government. So that's the chiddush. That's the twist he adds in. But this, to say that Hamadas Melech is racist, school to say, he doesn't think it's so scandalous at all. He thinks that that it's a very fair phrase to use. But again, here we see this connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos in the sense that they're both referred to as Malchus. Just to quickly run through the last couple of sources over here, Rav Zevin also points out that both Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos are referred to as a Matana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says Matana Tova, he has a Matana Tova in his base Gnazav, in his treasure house, and it's called Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael is one of the Gemara says, one of the Matanos Tovos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us only through Yisurin. It's something that we get, but only through suffering, but it's called also a matana, so again, another connection. Both Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos have to come with a sense of eschadshus. The Gemara Ksubis, the Tosin Ksubis rather, and Dav Zayin and Beis has an unbelievable chiddush la'alacha, that by every Shever Brachos, the Gemara says you always need panim chadashos to be present. You need new people to be there to add simcha to the Shever Brachos. Says Tosfos, Shabbos you don't need panim chadashos because Shabbos itself is panim chadashos. Shabbos isn't a person. What do you mean Shabbos is part of Chadashos? Apparently Shabbos gives us all a sense of Eschatzos. And that sense of Eschatzos is something we find by Eretz Yisrael as well. Eretz Yisrael also has to have, the Psukim say, has to have the Chazal Darshan from the Psukim, also has to be each day, we're in Eretz Yisrael, has to be like the day that we arrived there. It has to be like the day we just got it for the first time. Also with this consistent sense of Eschatzos. He also says both Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael have a sense of Espashtos. Hispashlus meaning that Shabbos, the Kedusha of all the other days, starts with Shabbos and sort of spills over to the other days of the week. And there are Mamari Chazal like this that he has to back it up. And it's all in the Maror Makomos, but we don't have time to get into it now. And he says the same is true with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, it's more difficult to find the Maror Chazal that says it. He works hard at it, and he finds something that sounds like it says it. But that's another connection between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. And the final connection is that they're both Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos, we sing in our Zemiros, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Eretz Yisrael, one who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is a Ben Olam Haba. So now we went through all the connections. I lost count how many it was. A dozen connections between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. What's it all about? So it's a Davar Pasha what it's all about. Shabbos is the holiest time. Kedushas Hazman. Eretz Yisrael is the holiest place. If we could put it a little bit differently, if we could put it more clearly perhaps, generally speaking, when God gives us mitzvahs, God says, I've given you this physical, mundane world that you're supposed to live in. I want you to use that world, that construct, to serve me. Right? We have animals, animal hides. We're supposed to use those animal hides, make tefillin out of them, and we're supposed to make brachos on the shechita. Whatever we have in this physical world, we're supposed to use it to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are two mitzvos where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's not about using the physical construct to serve me, it's about coming to my side. It's about coming Me'ein Olam Haba, coming to see what a Ruchni world is like, both in Kedushas HaZman and in Kedushas HaMakom. And that's what Shabbos is, that's what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael is on a higher madrega. It's not that we're using the physical world to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam only. That's always. That's with every other mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael is like ki'ilu, we're moving in a step closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam's house. That's the difference between a Beis HaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses. Rav Schachter explains in Eretz HaTzvi that a Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses are both places where we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beis HaKnesses where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our turf, and the Beis HaMikdash is where we go to his turf, where we meet him at his house. So if that's the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos, we should appreciate these matanos tovos. And it's no coincidence, by the way, and we've pointed this out a number of times in the past, that Bali Tshuva are made mostly by Eretz Yisrael and by Shabbos. By a visit to the Holy Land and by a visit to the Holy Zman. Right? Through experiencing a Shabbos and through experiencing Eretz Yisrael. Because that's the most real sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam that we ever have in our lives. A real experience of Shabbos and a real experience of Eretz Yisrael is the most real sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the strongest connection we feel to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Torah also fits into the picture, but we don't have time to go into that now, how it fits into many of these as well. We'll just leave it at that. That's Rav Zevin's basic approach. Next week we'll discuss other contemporary halachic issues.